Revelation chapter 22, and we'll be finalizing everything in Revelation chapter 22 in the next few services next Sunday morning. But we're getting down to the end of our series, but it doesn't mean, you know, it's like saving the best for last. Amen. It just gets good as you go on, thinking about all that God has for us. And we looked in chapter 21, and we saw the New Jerusalem. But believe it or not, there's more about the New Jerusalem. Amen. In chapter 22, verses 1 to 5. Let's read our text. And what we're actually doing now is moving from the walls, remember, the gates, the foundations, all the precious stones and everything that we're going to see in that city. Now we're moving inside the city. We're going to learn a little bit about what's on the inside of the city. And it's going to be, if you could compare it to anything, it's like going back to the Garden of Eden. Amen. So we'll see some of these blessings this morning. Verse 1 to 5, Revelation 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning as we continue in the book of Revelation, the final revelations that you're giving us about the new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem. Father, as we move into the city this morning, help us to pay attention to the things that will be in that city, and also, Lord, what they represent to us even today. So, Father, help us to make application to our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. May there be conviction where conviction is needed, understanding. We know we can only get that from you. So, Father, we look to you today that you will continually work in this message and bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we move into the city, we're seeing here, it's like a beautiful garden, reminiscent of the Garden of Eden. Now, in the Garden of Eden, there was four rivers back in Genesis 2. We'll not go back there. But here, there's only one river. Now, when Ezekiel saw this, he saw a purifying river flowing from the temple. This is the millennial scene in Ezekiel 47. But this river will flow directly from God's throne. And remember, God's throne and the throne of God and of the Lamb is the source of all purity. Amen? We are pure because of God, because of the Lamb of God. Now, when you think about the tree of life, or that tree that we found in the garden, it was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And man was forbidden from eating of that tree. And then when man sinned, God pushed him out of the garden. God forced him out from the tree of life. This is found in Genesis chapter 2 and Genesis chapter 3. But here in our eternal home, we will have access to the tree of life. This is amazing, amen? Amen. The river and the tree symbolize abundant life in the glorious city. But I'm thankful that the Bible says here, there'll be no more curse in verse 3. Amen. No more curse. And that takes us back to Genesis chapter 3, where the curse began, verses 14 to 19. You remember how God cursed the serpent, cursed the woman, cursed the man, and cursed the earth. Remember that? Genesis 3. And even Malachi chapter 4, we're talking about the ending, the close of the Old Testament, says, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Malachi 4, 6. But aren't you thankful in the New Testament it says, and there shall be no more curse. Amen. Why? Satan, he's going to be consigned to the lake of fire. Amen. All of creation will be made new, and the curse of sin will be gone forever. Amen. Let's look at some of the provisions in the New Jerusalem. Some provisions there. First of all, we see the river of life. The river of life. This is found in verse number 1. Is this real or symbolic? I think we'd have to answer, yes, it's real. There's going to be a river there. But it also symbolizes some things too. And that's what we want to see here. It says in verse 1, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Remember, the New Jerusalem is 1,500 cubic miles. Remember that? It will have the beauty and the refreshment of a running river and many other bodies of water. We often spiritualize when we think of heaven, don't we? We try to imagine. And then when we start doing that, we think of this dreamy, you know, unusual, unreal world instead of a real world. Isn't that what we do? We make heaven some unreal, unrealistic, some imaginary place. But the fact is, there's going to be a real river. It's going to be a real river. And God, brethren, the heavens that we see, this universe that we see, God's going to make this universe. He's going to make it new. He's going to recreate it. And God is going to recreate this earth. And, you know, don't think that I know that we reject teaching of the Jehovah's Witnesses, but the truth of the matter is, there is going to be a new earth. And we are going to have access to the new earth. Amen. So that is a truth of Scripture. And so we need to accept that. So there's going to be some features that are the same that we see today. But you know the difference? It's all going to be perfect. It's all going to be pure. There's going to be no sin involved in this. And there's something about this this river that's amazing here. We see the source of it. Where does it come from? He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal. Where's it coming from? Proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. This is different, amen? It's proceeding from the throne of God. Because this water of life flows from God, flows from Christ. They are the source of all life, amen? Both physical and eternal life. Only those that will be in that city are those who have drunk of the life of God and the life of Christ now. Have you done that? Remember what Jesus said to the woman at the well. He says, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Brethren, that's the water that we need to partake of today. The water that Jesus offers, the salvation that Jesus offers, that is eternal life. Have you drunk of that water? Now, this river, I believe, will be a constant reminder of Jesus Christ. Remember, He's the living water. It's going to be a constant reminder of Jesus Christ because He is the one who quenches our thirst. Amen. He's the one who satisfies our thirst for life. He quenches our thirst for life. He fulfills our thirst for life. He completes our thirst for life. And I'm thankful that we are complete in Him. Everything that is in Christ, God shares with us. We are heirs. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And that means this life that He provides, we are enjoying that now. Brethren, it's now. It's not just the hereafter. It's now. He gives us that life. So there's going to be the river of life. Amen. And I'm thankful for this river of life. And then I see, secondly, there's the tree of life. This is interesting. Verse 2. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life. Now think about this tree. Go back to Genesis 2 and verse 9. It was in the Garden of Eden. It was in the Garden of Eden. As we go back there, and the Bible tells us, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also is in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So we have the tree of life. And then just stay there for a moment. We remember in chapter 3, after the curse, after the fallen curse, it says in verse 24, so He drove out the man, and He placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turneth every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So man did not have access, but now we find the tree of life in the New Jerusalem. This is amazing. Amen? God's going to do that. Now, Adam, as long as he was sinless, he was allowed to eat of this tree. But as soon as he sinned, he could not partake of it. Now this tree, the tree of life, infused in him eternal life. Isn't that amazing? Infused in his body eternal life. But it also symbolized the perfect and life-giving environment. I mean, the tree of life, that beautiful garden. This is the environment that God gave Adam and Eve. But now we see the tree in the heavenly Jerusalem. What does it do? What do we see about this tree? There's 12 fruits. So these fruits, it's apparent here that it's giving, it's yielding a different fruit year, 12 different fruits year round. Amen. One crop each month. That's amazing. There's 12 manner of fruits yielded their fruit every month. I bet you've never had a tree like that. It doesn't matter how much grafting in you can do. Amen. So we see a new crop every month, 12 months of the year, and we have what we're seeing here is continuous fruit, meaning there's continuous life. There's no time that this tree does not bear fruit. It always bears fruit. It always provides eternal fruit and eternal life. And so this eating of this tree will be nourished by its fruit eternally. We're going to live forever. I think of this symbolism here. What about the fruit of the Spirit of God? Amen. Think about the perfect character of Christ. So you're going to be in heaven. You're going to be perfect. And you're going to have perfect love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and meekness and temperance. You're going to have all the fruit of the Spirit of God perfect in your life. What a wonderful promise we have. And then it says that the leaves of this tree were for the healing of the nations. So we're going to have a perfect life. There's no sickness, no disease. We're going to have a perfect body. And really, brethren, all these things symbolize everything that we have in Jesus Christ, the perfection that Jesus Christ gives us, the perfect healing of our new resurrected bodies, our glorified bodies. There'll be no more suffering. And so all of this is being symbolized by the river of life and the tree of life. But then we see something else. There's no more curse, as we mentioned. I think verse 3 says, "And there shall be no more curse." Brethren, right now, there's a curse. You don't have to look too far to find aging, corruption, deterioration, decay, death, suffering, evil, disturbance, division, disasters, and on the list goes. There is a curse. Why? Because Adam chose to make his own life in the world. He rejected God's life. Brethren, everyone is born into this world choosing your own life. You grow up choosing your own life. And that's what it means to come to Christ. You begin to reject your own life, your sinful life, and you take on Christ's life. Because you know He's eternal life, and He's the one who forgives you and cleanses you. But you can't just go on making your own life in this world. You can't go on rejecting the life that God has for you. The Bible says, when God spoke to Adam, He said, and unto Adam He said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. You see what happens? I know we have to admit these things. That's why the woman was deceived. But Adam, he just obeyed his wife. For one reason or the other, he looked on her. He said, I'm going to do what you did. Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I have commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not even... Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. And we know what that's like, isn't it? Those of you that have been involved in gardening, farming, even we look around and we see all the problems our world has today. Brethren, why? It's because of the curse. The curse of sin. Let us recognize right now that God's life is as stated here. In this passage, the life of Jesus Christ alone is eternal. And so when we continue on our own life, we continue on our own path, there's nothing but death. And that means eternal death. That's the end. If you keep living your own life without receiving Christ, without receiving the life of God, then you will have death and eternal death. And we know that as by one man's sin, death entered the world. Sin entered the world. As by one man's disobedience, sin entered. Death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So we live under a curse. But aren't you thankful in the heavenly Jerusalem? There's no more curse. This means there's not people running around rejecting Christ and rejecting God. That means... it's free of evil. It's free of death. It's perfect. It will last eternally. I'm thankful for everyone that is a citizen that will be there, will be perfected forever and ever. Amen. So there's the tree, the river of life. There's the tree of life. There's no more curse in that city. And then we see that there's the throne of God and of the Lamb. Brethren, Jerusalem, or this new Jerusalem, is going to be the capital city of the universe. The capital city, the heavenly Jerusalem. This will be the headquarters of God's throne, his leadership, his government and rule in the new heaven and new earth. This means that we're going to receive our instructions there. We're going to do our reporting back. You say, well, how do we know all this? Well, wait here, it tells us some things. It tells us some things. But aren't you thankful? Now, this is amazing. We sang a little bit about this. Verses 3 and 4 says, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. His servants shall serve him. We'll get back to that in a moment. And they shall see his face. Brother, we just sang about seeing his smiling face. You're going to see his face. You're going to report back to Jesus Christ. You're going to look on him. He's going to look on you. It's amazing. We're going to see his face. We're going to talk with him. We're going to share with him. We're going to discuss with him. We're going to praise him there. We're going to worship him there. We're going to thank him. But the most amazing thing is you have access to Jesus Christ. And you will see him for all eternity. What a precious sight. Amen. Just think about seeing the face of Jesus. That's going to be a reality. Now, we move on to this part of our message. There's going to be perfect service. You say, well, what are we going to do in heaven? You ever have that question? We're just going to fly around all day and singing all day. No, the Bible tells us a little bit about here. Now, we have to accept the revelation of God. We don't have all the answers, and thank God, we don't need them all now. Amen? We need to be faithful to what we do have of God's revelation. That's really the problem. You don't need more dreams and visions of things that are not written. You just need to get busy understanding God's word, God's truth. We'll find out about that in the last part of the book. Amen? There's no more revelation. But there's perfect service to the Lord here. What are you going to do? Certainly we're going to praise him, right? We're going to thank him. But the Bible says here in verse 3, his servants shall serve him. Brethren, this should be a great encouragement, because our service in heaven will be perfect, because we're going to be perfect beings. We're going to be perfect servants. That means there's going to be no more handicaps in our service. No more hindrances in our service. You know how we get so frustrated because we realize, man, we're not doing enough. We're not serving him like we should. But in that day, all hindrances will be removed, and you're going to have perfect service to a perfect God, a perfect Savior, in a perfect environment. What a day that's going to be. So what will that service be? That's the point I need to make. We are not told. Means that Christ wants us to serve him now. Much of the New Testament is talking about our service through the church and out in this world, and how we serve people and how we serve the Lord. And even the Bible tells us that if we're not faithful now, that will kind of determine some of our positions, especially in the millennium. I'm not saying for all eternity, but our faithfulness now, our faithful service in life, prepares us, brethren, for that future service in the kingdom of God. Let's be faithful to him. You know why? Because in heaven, you're not only going to be a servant, you're going to be a king. Amen. You're going to rule and reign with Christ. So what an honor that we have. And that's how we should feel now. It's an honor to serve the Lord. It's, yes, it's our duty, amen. But it's an honor. It's a privilege to serve the Lord. And we ought to be faithful in this life, because how can we say, well, you know, in that day I'll serve Him. No, you need to have that in your heart today. And you need to have some proof in your life that you love the Lord and that you serve Him this side of heaven, amen. Then we have the name of God. His name's going to be on our foreheads. We're going to see His face in verse 4. We're going to have the name of God on our foreheads. Amen? Amen? Now, it's not for those who have received the mark of the beast. No. They've already been dealt with. They've already been judged. They've already been sent to the lake of fire. But this name, This name is of our great sovereign. This is the name of our great God. And we're going to have the privilege to bear His name on our foreheads. Isn't that amazing? And this name is going to make us someone special, someone blessed. And not only that, we're going to have great privileges because we have the name of God on us. Just think about those who take the mark of the beast, they're the ones who get all the privileges in the global world to come, the global economy and so forth. But not for eternity, amen? We have the name of God. And this means for us, possession. God owns us. We're going to be wholly possessed of Him. And then we're going to be enabled to serve Him totally and completely. And not only that, we're going to be under His care, His love, His direction, His guidance, His security, and His safety forever and ever. Amen? Amen. So we see all of the blessings there. But then we come to the light of the city. The light of the city. Verse number 5. And there should be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So this light, aren't you thankful you won't have to be choosing a power company in that day? Amen. No more power companies. Amen. No more power grids. Amen. That fail. They're not going to be needed. Why? Because there's no more night. There's no more night. The light will be so great in the city, the New Jerusalem, there's no night there. Amen? Amen? There's no need of artificial light. There's no need of a candle, an artificial light. There's going to be no need of a sun or a moon. There's no need of an astronomical light. There's going to be no need of any light because Jesus is the light. Amen. Amen. Remember what we read? Go, just jump up a few verses in chapter 21:23 says, "And the city had no need of sun, neither of moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." So we have the presence of God. Maybe you've been reading through the Old Testament. Remember when God led Israel by the glory of God, that pillar of light, that fire, pillar of fire, and how God led them by that fire. And then the presence of God came down and dwelled in the holy place. The glory of God filled that place. But now, there's no barriers anymore, amen? We see the perfect glory of God. We see the perfect light of Jesus Christ. I think of Saul. Remember Saul of Tarsus when he met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus? What did it say? What happened to him? He was blinded by the light. And that glory That glory that God gave him and showed him never left him. Do we understand that? When we receive the light of God, it doesn't leave us. Amen? Amen. Paul walked in that light. They talk about it in the Word of God. Unto the end of their days, the saints in heaven look on the face of Jesus and they're captivated by that light. Amen? And that's the same light that captivated Paul on the road to Damascus. And that light is what continued to lead him and guide him. And then we see here in the millennium, we read about the light of the glory of God. And we see on the throne the light of the glory of God and of Christ. Brethren, I think we have to agree with Peter that there's joy. When we get a glimpse of this, there's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen? And so we see, as we receive Jesus Christ, the light of the world, you receive Him today. This is the light that's going to endure for all eternity. This is the light of His position and His power, the one who's going to reign. And He's going to be sharing that light with us forever and ever and ever. And we're going to walk in that light. And so I'm thankful today for all that we see about the New Jerusalem. And the question is, have you received of that river of life? Have you received of that tree of life through Christ, that life that He gives? Have you received of the light of God? Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Is there light in your life? Is there something shining in your life? Is there some glory of God in your life? Let's make sure of that today. Amen? That's the only hope. And I think the proof is, do we serve Him? Do we love Him today? Let's all stand, every head bowed, every eye closed.